This morning, what I want to do is to share a little bit about what happened with these two disciples of John the Baptist and how they left his church and went to Jesus' church. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. As I was reading this and thinking about it, I was reminded of something that happened. It was a dynamic that was going on in one of the churches I was overseeing in Phoenix when we lived there. And it was St. Jude's. It was in the center of Phoenix. And some of you don't know the story of that because it's been a few years since I shared it with you. But it was basically two Young Life groups. You know, Young Life is a high school ministry. And what it does, it's aimed at high school kids who have no church affiliation of any kind. And so the area director in Phoenix was coming into the Episcopal Church and seeking ordination. And so he left that job as area director of Young Life. And two of the clubs in his area followed him. And of course, they had absolutely no church experience at all, except for my friend's ministry, in which he did a lot of discipleship with them. He would have, just to show you what kind of guy he is, he would have a group of 20 or 30 high school kids to his house every Wednesday night. You can still keep praying for him. His name is Matt. You know, it's been a few years, but it's just a marvelous, wonderful discipleship kind of thing. Some of the high school kids who were attracted to that and stayed with him, and by the time I was involved, they were getting to be like 19 and 20. Some of them were members of gangs there in the center of Phoenix. And they were hardcore gang members. They had the tattoos and everything. And the bandanas. The bandanas were the colors of the gang. And they would be showing up at these Wednesday night meetings. And more than once on a Wednesday night meeting, some of these young men would say, "Matt, would you come with us?" And they'd go out to, if they had a bonfire or, you know, a chimney or something with a fire going, they would take their colors off and put them in the fire. They say, "We wanted you to know we were burning our colors because we're leaving that gang and joining this family." And they, we baptized some of them. And I at one time, instructed them in communion for the first time. We were at somebody's house, and there was a small table for the altar. And I'm explaining what to do, what communion is about, and what to do. And I said, "And when it's time for you to receive, you know, you receive like this, with bread in your hand, and I'll just come up to the front." So, right at the time, they all came up to the front and stood like right against the table, like that. It was an incredible moment, as they're so hungry for that family, of being in Jesus' family. That's why some of them went to gangs in the first place. They were just hungry to belong, to have some place where they knew they belonged. And now they knew they belonged in the place where they would be forever. It's very, very powerful. And that's the kind of thing, even though it may not be dramatic, that Jesus does with each of us. And we see that in these two disciples, one of them being Andrew, we find out a little later in the gospel, and another one unnamed. John the Baptist is pointing Jesus out to them. And so the two of them, they start following Jesus. You know, he explains, well, he's the one who baptizes the Holy Spirit, you know, so forth and so on. Off they go. And there's Jesus knowing that they're following him. And so he turns around and says, "What do you want? What are you seeking?" And I said, "Well, where are you staying?" So he says, "Come on, come and see." It's some version of "come and see" that Jesus says to each of us. And he says that to us after we've answered his question. And his question will be to each of us, "What do you want? What are you seeking? What is it that you really want?" And when you begin to express that to him, then there's an invitation from him to come and be with him. So what Jesus did here with these two disciples, as he invited them into his family, if he was staying somewhere, it wasn't just a, come with me. Remember they called him teacher, as we see in the Gospels, which is rabbi. He wasn't saying, all right, come with me, and I'll give you a copy of my syllabus and the bibliography, and you can take that home. And if you have other questions later, just let me know. Be in touch. It wasn't that. That's not how rabbis operated in those days. If you were a rabbi and people started following you, they lived with you. They stayed with you. They didn't only want to know what you knew. They wanted to live like you lived. They wanted to see the rhythm of your life, and they wanted to take that rhythm up. And that's what these two were saying. We want to be like you. And Jesus said, well, come on and see what it's like. And then what happens is you get this rhythm of life from Jesus that opens up the desire of your heart. The desires of your heart are met in the rhythms of the life of Jesus. Now, the reason for that is the desires of your heart were put into your heart by God. When you were created with that set of desires, that set of longings, whatever they are for you. And then when you begin to see the rhythm of the life of Jesus, which he says is the abundant life, when you begin to see that, the desires of your heart begin opening up, and you begin seeing why you were created, seeing what's going on with you, seeing who you really are, and seeing who you're going to become. And that's how it worked here with these two. Even though it's just a small part of an afternoon that we see in the lives of these two, we know that that's what's going to happen, because we remember the rest of the story, at least some of it. We can look it up again, it's there. Things are going on with them after this that only Jesus could do. Now, there's a way that this works, and it's really not so much that you get the right thought pattern and you get the right information and you get the right things going on, and then you know the right people and you get the right network and you show up at the right time, and then everything you wanted falls into place. Has any of that ever worked for any of you? No, it's not about that. And one of the clues, which is a little bit difficult to see because, we're not Jewish people. Well, Richard's mom was Jewish, but still. What goes on with this is they follow him to where he's staying. And John says in this gospel, and it was 4 in the afternoon. That is a very significant hour. Especially if you're Jewish, because you're getting home from work. I mean, obviously, a lot of people get home from work then or a little later. And what it means is that the sun is about to go down, and not only did these two need a place to stay, but it was the sign that something was about to go on in their lives. Something new was beginning, because the day in the Hebrew mind starts at sundown. It does not start at sun up. Now, your Jewish friends will have the Sabbath start at sundown on Friday, because that's when the day starts. And you may recall from Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating everything, it said, and God created this and such, and it was evening, and it was morning, the first day. It wasn't morning and then evening the first day. The day started when the sun goes down. And that's when God starts his new day of work. if you don't mind that little anthropomorphism right there. These two were going in with Jesus to stay with him, to see his rhythm of life when the day was beginning, when God was beginning a new work in them. God was starting something in them at that time when symbolically the new day was starting for them. And it, from that day on, there'd be something different going on in their lives. It was a new day dawning. And there were two basic things going on in their lives that were going to go on from that point on. First of all, they were going to know who they are. I believe very concretely that it is not possible to know who we are apart from God, apart from the one who created us, apart from the one who calls us by name, apart from the one who says, you are my child and in you I am well pleased, apart from the Spirit of God, we don't really know who we are. Connected to the Spirit of God, we begin to hear who we are. They were beginning to hear who they are. And then the second thing that's coming is this. I believe just as strongly that it is impossible to know who we are becoming apart from the God who is renewing us every day. New every morning are the mercies of the Lord. And when he starts doing that, we start seeing what we are becoming. And it is in what we are becoming that the desires of our heart come forward and are fulfilled. Because what we are becoming is what God has created us to be. And part of what he's created us with is those desires. When those desires, when we begin to see them and know them and deeply hold on to them and desire them for what they are, we are connecting with the God who's renewing us and becoming everything he has created us to be. He fulfills your dreams because his dreams come from him. Now, at that point, a lot of people jump off the bus. I mean, we don't have buses here in Goshen County, but you know what I'm saying. A lot of people just get off right there, and they say, oh, wait a minute. No. My desires, they're not worthy. There's things I desire that aren't right. I don't know. I'm just little old me, and I don't know about God, you know, doing that. I mean, what if my desires aren't correct? What if they're not biblical? What if they're bordering on wrong? What do you mean my desires? I can't do that. Anybody identify with that? You don't have to raise your hand, but I know you do, right? It's that line of thinking which is not connected to God. When you are thinking, oh, my desires, I don't know, my desires are not correct, my desires, they're not what they should be, my desires, they could be wrong, my desires are not, but who are you connecting with?
Yourself.
Thank you, Stacy. All right. Yeah. When you see, it's my desires are this, my desires are that, you're connecting with yourself. That's why you don't know who you are. Because you call yourself the names that you shouldn't be calling yourself. When you're connecting with the Spirit of God, he is calling you my son, my daughter. You are the one whom I love. And other things about you and the manner in which you were created because God created you. It is disconnecting from that line of thinking which says, my desires are not right, my desires aren't making up, what if I'm wrong, I, me, 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 when I woke up this morning, I was on my mind, all that. Disconnecting from that so that you can hear the voice of God call you by name. That's when your desires as you they were created within you, start flowing from your spirit through your soul, through your life, into the world, and the kingdom of God is extended through you. When Jesus says, come and see, one of the things you'll be seeing is how the desires you were created with please him, and he will build you up for that. He will transform you for that. You will become one who walks in that path of light of the desires with which you were created. Now, the big question at this point is always, how do you do that? How do you take that step? So, I have a suggestion for you. And it's a suggestion that you will be familiar with. Part of the discipline of sitting before God and saying, what are you saying to me, is putting aside everything else just for that moment so that you can hear what God is saying to you. So now you don't have to answer this, but just here's a reality check on that. How many of you, as soon as you get up, the first thing you do is check your phone? You don't have to answer. And if you've gotten past that, how many of you, the first thing you do when you get up is turn on the news? You don't have to answer that. Some of you might have said, oh, I better not do that anymore. But how many of you, the first time, as soon as you get up, before you get out of bed, are thinking, okay, I've got this, and this, and I better get that done first? Okay, I want to thank all of you who are shaking your head. Yes, I do that. Very honest, very good. See, what happens is, we let our phones or the news or our to-do list frame our lives. And your phone and the news and your to-do list cannot tell you your name and cannot tell you how valuable you are and how much you are loved and how you are a child of God. And they cannot tell you what you are becoming. But the voice of Jesus can. If you were to take one step tomorrow morning, one tiny step, and stop yourself from reaching for the phone or the remote or the to-do list, and reach instead for your Bible, or wherever you engage with the Word and the Spirit of God. If you do that first, that will frame who you are. That's where you will hear your name. That's you will begin to catch who you are becoming. That's where you will gain the ability to know that the desires of your heart are the desires that God has planted there, and he wants to see fruit coming of them, from them. Fruit that gives glory to his name. And that's why you were created. Do you need more suggestions? For example, don't put your phone next to your bed. Well, put it in the next room and turn it up.
Then I can't hit the snooze that easy.
That's right. That's right. You can reach for the Bible instead, right? Instead of reaching for the snooze. Right? All right. See? See? I mean, and that's you made an excellent observation, Rose. Your phone, to get your name from your phone, does not take any repentance. It doesn't take any turning around. To get your name from the voice of Jesus means you turn from those and turn and go the other way, where he's ready to tell you who you are. Now, you can only do that by the Spirit of God, so my final suggestion to you is this. Before you go to sleep tonight, ask for the power of the Spirit of God to do those things. All right, everybody okay? You'll find that when you come and see, you'll see things you never dreamed of. That's a great way to live. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for drawing us to yourself, filling us with your life, and inviting us to come and see. And we ask you, move us into what we are becoming by the power of your Spirit. Amen.